Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Broadcast is a radio broadcast that is lifting up the grace and mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. So why don't you call a friend, a neighbor, and tell them that Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air? We would like, again, to ask you, praise God, to get ready to listen to an awesome broadcast that God is moving, that God is doing great, mighty things, that God is giving breakthroughs through the word of God, through understanding, revelation through his word. So at this time, we would like to let you know the Breakthrough Broadcast topic for this Saturday, December the 31st, is Faith-tastic. Let me tell you again. Let me say that again. Faith-tastic. Our study text is coming from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, 1st through the 18th verse. And our central truth today is we must be willing to make any sacrifice that God requires. Our key verse is, again, Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and let's focus in on that 12th verse, which is our key verse. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. But now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. KJV. The NIV version is, do not lay a hand on the boy. He says, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Breakthrough Broadcast panel today will be Pastor Francina Shank, Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Cooper, and Evangelist Geraldine Spencer. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, your host of the Breakthrough Broadcast. Again, you still have time to call a friend, to call a neighbor, and tell them that Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. Faith tested. Let's think about that a little bit. Faith tested. Have you ever had your faith tested? Somebody may say, what is faith? The word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever been in a situation wherein that your faith, the things that you said, the things that you stood on, the things that verbally came out of your mouth, the word of God that you shared with someone, have it ever came to a test that you had to stand on God's word, and you had to believe God for the very word that God's word says in the scripture? The Bible let us know that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tip of this word will fail. We find here in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we're going to be talking about a man that had to stand on God's word and to believe God. And we have three different subtopics that we're going to be discussing our panel today, and they are an unthinkable command. The second would be withhold nothing. And the third is God provides. And when we begin to think about an unthinkable command, have there been things in your life that you think, my God, this is, even thought about things that you thought that was so unthinkable that you didn't even want to system may come to pass. You didn't want to think that such things that you'll ever be tried in certain situations of your life. But when we look at Genesis, and I want you to go with me in Genesis, that 22nd chapter, and we're going to read that first through the fifth verse. And it reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Now take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burning offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took the two of the young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burning offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." When I began to read the word of God, and I began to think about the relationship that Abraham had with God, when I began to think about the trust that God had in Abraham, when I began to think on the responsibility that he had as being a child of God, as being a father, and his relationship with the Heavenly Father, and his relationship as being a father. When we began to think about the relationship that he had with the Heavenly Father, we know it had to be a relationship that was on a solid foundation. It had to be a relationship that was not on quickened sand. It wasn't a relationship that was not built upon clay. It was not a relationship that was built up on words. It was a relationship that God knew that I'm going to, if I try, it's hard. If I try Abraham, then I know that Abraham will be proven and that Abraham will come out of this trial. But sometimes when we go through situations in our lives and we begin to read in these verses from the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we find a man that God wants to really, again, to test our heart. Sometimes we think that we're solid and that we are steadfast and we are unmovable and we are unshaken. But God gave this man, Abraham, a challenge. He put him through an unthinkable test. When we begin to think about tests, it actually means a trial. It means a critical evaluation. It's an examination. It's something that you've been proven. You've been tried to see what kind of value, to see what's inside of you, to see the genuineness of that individual. And I believe that Abraham would have never really began to comprehend or to think that God will ever ask him to do what he asked him to do. Remember how long that he had to wait for the son of promise. how long that he and his wife, Sarah, had to wait so very long. And for him and for Sarah to be able to bring forth. And even in the old age. But God wanted to see, do he really have Abraham's heart? He knew the love that Abraham had for him. But sometimes God put us through situations, through tests and trials, to try us and to let us know who we are in him. Sometimes, as I said before, we can talk this thing out, but can we walk it out? Can we stand to be tested? And here we find that God has asked Abraham to do something that no father, that no mother would want to hear verbally or written or any other way, to ask a mother or father to do what God asked Abraham to do. He told him, he asked him to take, even when I began to look at even that second verse, it says, and he said, take now thy son. And then he went a little further, and he says, thy only, he wanted him to just to kind of feel this thing, that not just thy son, but take thy only son, the only son. I want you to take thy son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. I mean, can you feel it? Can you see where God was going with this thing? Don't just take thy son, like he had three or four, but he said, take thy son, that singular, take thy son, thy only son. He called him by name, Isaac. Then he told him, the son that thou lovest. And he said, and he wanted him to go to the land of Moriah. And when you get there, I want you, Abraham, to offer him up to one of the mountains which I tell. He didn't tell him which one. He told him, I want you to offer up your son. And Abraham rose up early. See, somebody would start an argument or a conversation, I get the meanness of anger inside of them because of the fact that I'm not going to offer up my son. I'm not going to give my son. God, that is a little bit too much. God, you've gone a little bit too far. You asking me to give up my son and to offer him as a sacrifice upon the mountain. But Abraham, his heart was pure towards God. His heart was genuine towards God because it tells us that he got up the next morning. He didn't get up late, but he got up early the next morning. And because he trusted God. I don't know what you're going to do, God. I don't know how you're going to hammer this. I don't know the outcome of what's going to happen, but because I trust you, I'm not going to sleep it out in depression. I'm not going to sleep it out because I'm oppressed, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to do as I was asked to do. So he got up early in the morning and he settled his eyes and took two of the young men with him. And he took his son Isaac, and he took the wood for the offering that he was going to offer up him on, and went to the place that God had told him. And then it says, when I was really kind of intrigued with that fourth verse, because it says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Could you imagine with me, people of God, breakthrough audience, could you imagine going through that first day, that second day, and that third thing, the feelings and the things that as a father could have been thinking, the not knowing what was going to happen, but yet his relationship with God was profound. His relationship with God was I think it was awesome. But he, in that third day, he was able to see the place that he was going to have to offer from his son, Isaac, from afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Now that is faith in God. He said that he let them know, you stay on here. You stay here. Don't come with us, but just abide here. Stay here. And he and his son, they were going to go, and they were going to come back, and they were going to come again, and they would be able to worship again. This is faith. This is trust in God, to be able to know that God will not leave us. He will not forsake us. So at this time, we're going to go into the second topic, which is withhold nothing. And we're going to go to Miss Helen Watson as she began to tell us about withholding nothing. And with God, God examines our, is the one that examines our heart. God is the one that makes the difference in our life. He's the one that will bring us out of any situation and will give us that courage that we need anytime, anywhere. Ms. Helen Watson, welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And to our listening audience, welcome to Breakthrough Ministry today, broadcast today. Withholding nothing, and it's coming from Genesis 22nd, 6 through the 12th verse. And the 6th verse reads, and Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Verse 9 reads, and they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and lay him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And here it is talking about Abraham not withholding anything from God. Now we know from the story that this is Sarah and Abraham waited a long time in their old age for this son. And we see Abraham obeying God. He took, like Dr. McCoy said, that three-day journey that they took. How was he thinking that, you know, I got to go and give my son, I got to make my son a sacrificial offering. But he withheld nothing from God. He was willing to take his son's life to offer it up to God that God had commanded him. In our everyday lives, we have to do the same thing. We have to withhold nothing from God. Even when we have our last, when we're sitting there, we have our last, and we know someone might need it. We have to pay our tithes. We have to give out of ourselves, and sometimes we don't want to give. We don't want to give our last. We don't want to give, but we have to withhold nothing from God. Everything should be on the table with God. Concerning Abraham and Isaac, he was his own. He was his son out of his old age. He was a promise that God had told him that I promise you this. Isaac wasn't only his son. He was his promise. He was God's promise. And you mean to tell me that I have to give back this promise? I have to lay this promise on the altar and give it back as a sacrifice to God? But in all that, Abraham still obeyed God. He held back nothing. He even laid him on the altar to the last minute. He laid him on the altar to slay him, just as God had commanded him to do. So the angel of the Lord stayed his hand, told him to stay his hand. Now you know that he fears God. God would have us to do the same thing. How many of us would lay our children on the altar this day and time? How many of us would give our last to God? If he asked us to give more and more, and he needed more out of us, will we be willing to give it? Will we be willing to lay everything on the altar? Will we be willing to just open to what God would have us to do? Sometimes it's not a good feeling. Sometimes it's we think it's a horrific thing, but God is tugging on us, and he's pulling on us and saying, he needs more, he needs more, he needs more. But this is just in order to us to go to the next level in our life and to obey God. If you obey him, if you hear him and you obey him, he will keep opening doors and he will keep moving you to different levels. It doesn't feel good all the time. It's not supposed to feel good all the time. It's supposed to compel you to your next level. You're not supposed to stay in the same place all the time. The next year comes around and you're in the same place. God would not have that to be. So sometimes he puts things on us and he tests us to see where our level of faith is. Will we obey him? Will we do what we're supposed to do concerning his business? Because if he can trust us with his business, he can trust, he can just keep taking us from glory to glory, from level to level. Here Abraham was being tested, greatly tested. This was his son. He had to kill him. He had to kill him. He had to offer him as a sacrifice, which he thought. But we see in the scripture where he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That shows us that he had faith, that he knew God was going to supply, he was going to supply his every need on this earth. He had a ram in the bush. He knew that God was going to supply the lamb that needed to be sacrificed. He was doing what God would have him to do. He was being obedient, and we have to be obedient when we're about God's business. We cannot be feeble. We cannot be withholding. We have to give him everything that we have, because when we open up our hearts and our ears so we can hear, God will continuously bless us. He will continue to take us to that spiritual level that we need to be, because it's not all about us. It's about God's people. And I was thinking about when, as Dr. McCoy was reading, how when he told Moses to go and lead the Israelites out, who of us would have stood on that walk with Moses and when he parted the Red Sea? Now, most of us would say, I'm not going down there because that water's going to pile in and it's going to drown all of us. They have to have faith. Moses had to have faith. They have to stand there and trust God to divide the water. And that was a great, great miracle that God performed. But he trusted God to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And in this is a horrific thing that Abraham thought it was, but it really wasn't. God was just testing him to see, do I have your all? Do I have your full attention? Will you give me everything that you have? And the answer in this case was yes. He was going to give him his son. God gave us his only son. He loved us just that much, and that's what Abraham loved God, and he knew he would take care of him in anything. He trusted him enough to know, this is what he told me to do. I have to carry out this task, but it's going to be all right in the end. It has to be. And like I said, Isaac was a promise to Sarah and Abraham. And he didn't murmur and he didn't complain. He did exactly what God would have him to do. And in the end, God supplied what he needed. And when you read the story, it goes on to say he even named that place Jehovah Jireh, because God provided what he needed. He had a ram in the bush. And like he said, I and the lad will come again to you. And they did. He trusted God with all that he had, and he and the lad returned to go back home together. But on that journey, I'm pretty sure he was thinking and he was praying, but he knew that it was going to be all right. He said that I and the lad will return to you. So he knew that God had something in store when he obeyed him. He knew that he was going to also deliver him, and to he just trusted God to do everything that he needed. He was obedient, and he withheld nothing from God, nothing. Some of us is not even obedient in the little things of God. We will hardly give our money. We will hardly give our time to God. But this was his child, his son, and he obeyed God with the quickness. Like Dr. McCoy said, he rose up early the next morning. He didn't sit there and ponder, so I'm going to drink some coffee first. I'm going to pray and ask God for another revelation. It's got to be something. I'm going to hear from God again. And that's when we miss it. And then we have to do these tests over and over and over again because we miss it on the first part. We don't get it the first time. So listening audience, radio audience, we would have you, God would have you not to withhold anything from him. Give him your all. Open your heart, open your ears, open your eyes. Ask him to drop the scales from your eyes. Open your ears and listen and be obedient to God. Withhold nothing from him. He needs that from us. And he can use you in a mighty way when we withhold nothing. Back to you, Dr. McCoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. How awesome that revelation that God has given you, that letting us know that we cannot withhold anything from God. And God has given us so many examples in the Word of God how to stand in the time of trials, in the time of tribulation, in the time that we go through in life. That even when God calls our name, even when God a trial or things that we go through, that God expected us to go through, we can go through it in confidence, knowing that the Word says that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. I like what Ms. Watson said about trusting God. The Bible let us know to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. It's not what we understand, but it's God's Word. It's our trust in God, how he will deliver us and how he will bring us out. And sometimes we don't know the way that God's going to bring us out of situations, but trusting God is all that matters. Trusting God and believing God and standing on God's word. Do we have a caller out in our audience that that would like to make a comment today? Caller, at this time, we just want you to, as we're waiting for the second portion of withholding nothing, we would like Breakthrough Radio audience to know tonight at 9 o'clock, there will be a New Year service that will be held at the Spoken Word Ministry. The address is 1445 Steele Street here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And we invite you and you to please come out to lift up the name of Jesus and to give him the praise and the glory and the honor and hear the word of the Lord as we go into the brand new year of January 2012. And again, we would like to also to invite our radio audience to continually to go into that bookstore, or go into that Christian bookstore and purchase the I Am Worship tape. I'm certainly sure that you are going to be blessed if you go and purchase one of those CDs. Every song that's on it is certainly anointed and God-given. And if you want to hear a woman of God, I want you to know that you will truly be blessed. The artist is a new artist, which is Pastor Sabrina Belton. So if you would like to have one of those tapes, please call Breakthrough Broadcast, and we'll be happy in order to connect you with a new artist. I Am Worship. At this time, we're getting ready to go back to our panel, and we would like to welcome today, Pastor Francina Shanks. And she's coming, and she's going to give us that second part of withholding nothing. She's going to bless us. She always has something that God has given her for our broadcast and for the radio broadcast. So let's welcome Pastor Francina Shank.
Praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy. Thank you so much. God bless you all. We're going now to Genesis chapter 22, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and the wood, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him, but now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham prepared everything for the offering, including his son, without hesitation. He raised the knife to slay Isaac, but God intervened, revealing his purpose in the strange event. He was testing Abraham's faith to see if he feared God enough to hold nothing back from him. Abraham's actions had proven he would obey God fully. While you may not receive the answers in all of the why questions you face, when tests come your way, you can know that God tests you for a reason. Knowing this, you need to trust and obey him. When you do this, you will pass the test. You see, God knew that Abraham loved him when he saw him raise that knife to slay his only son. And God tests us the same way in different things. Maybe not to take the life of our son, but there's many things God would test us in our walk with him to see if we would do what he says. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19 says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see, Abraham knew God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, and so he didn't hesitate. He didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. He obeyed God fully because he had already obeyed God's voice when God told him to come from among his kinfolk and go into a land that he would show him. And so Abraham knew that God was able to do what he had said. Also, a lot of times we as God's people, we are tested and tried by the Lord and see if we will obey him. And sometimes we don't obey God. We miss it. We miss the mark. But one thing about it, we can always ask the Lord to forgive us and get up and go on. Even though we fall, we can get back up again and keep going. That is the kind of God we serve. He is a merciful God. But as Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice, obeying God, God wants us to present our bodies a sacrifice, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind to know the perfect will of God. God wants us to present our bodies just like Isaac presented his only son. And that was a type and shadow of God giving his son to the world. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But God wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to him, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. And so a lot of time God will try us, just like he did Abraham, to see if we will obey him, to see if we love him. Because the Bible says in Hebrew, without faith it is impossible to please him. For without faith, we can't please God. And they that please him by faith, we will know, because this is a faith walk. And I just thank God for this word, you know, showing that Abraham didn't hold anything back. He was willing to obey God, to give up his only begotten son. And when he lifted up that knife to slay Isaac, the Lord sent his angel to stop him. And God knew that Abraham loved him because he was willing to give his only son, to slay his only son. And God knew then that Abraham feared him and loved him. And so we, as men and women of God, we have got to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And God will try us. We are going to be tried, just as Abraham was tried. God always tries his people. And so I just thank God for this word today, and I hope it touched you and enlightened you. And I will turn it back over now to Dr. Mary McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Francine Shanks. We just thank God, praise God, for also for Ms. Helen Watson and Pastor Shanks on the topic withholding nothing. And that within itself, when you say withholding nothing, you know, sometimes like Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to hold on to part of what God had already given them. They wanted to hold on. And like we in life sometimes don't want to give God our all. But as the two panelists have already shared with us, that God want us just to trust him enough, to have confidence in him, to have faith in him, to rely on him, to depend on him, to know that he will be there for us, and that nothing is too hard for God. It's nothing that we cannot trust God in. Yes, the enemy will speak into the ears of the people and try to make them think that, suppose God won't do this, suppose God don't be there, or suppose God doesn't show up as Mary and Martha thought. When we began to think about Mary and Martha in the Word of God in that 11th chapter of St. John, and when Lazarus was very sick, and they thought that God was going to show up in that time when they thought that he should have shown up. But God just let, he wanted to show the greatness of him. He wanted to show who he was, that he was the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega. He was the beginning and the end. He's one that is the resurrection and the life. He didn't go immediately when Lazarus was sick. He didn't go there right then, but he waited. And yet God was able to raise him up. And even with Abraham, he had to believe God. He had to stand on God's word. He had to know that God was God and God all by himself. He had to have that type of relationship, that unshakable relationship. Sometimes when we really look at it, sometimes our relationship with Christ is a little bit shaky. And if it's shaky, when we go through things and be tried in certain things, then that level of faith is not there. And then we'll begin to not to believe God. But we all have been tested, and we all will be tested. So we need to continue within our mind that I have this trust in God, that I will not withhold anything from him, because I know the God that I serve, that he is a deliverer. It's like he delivered He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will deliver us, and he will bring us out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. We're getting ready to be honored today with a solo coming from Miss Helen Watson. Let's welcome her back to Breakthrough.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And she asked me to do this. I'm like, well, Lord, what am I going to sing? What am I going to sing? And I was thinking the other morning, I'm like, how much I love God. And when you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. You want to talk to them. You want them to be a part of your life. You want them to be in your life. And that's how we should be with God. And I was thinking, I just love him so much. He just means everything. It's just a simple song. But I thought to myself, you know, this is what I can do. So because I love him so, and he's just everything to me. So just bear with me. Just, it's my first time doing this, but just bear with me.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever done. In his arms I feel protected. I'm never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling with Jesus, the Father, here with my Savior. Oh, it is all I feel connected. In his arms I feel protected. Oh, falling in love with my protection. no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
Amen, amen. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Have you ever been in love? Have you ever been in love with Jesus? That is the best place that one can ever be. In his arm, yes, there is safety. In his arm, there is protection. Oh, how it one must feel. Oh, think about how you felt when you fell in love with Jesus. I think that is the same way that Abraham felt, because he had already fallen in love with Jesus. He knew that in his arms, he knew that God would protect him. He knew that God would protect his son as well. So broadcast audience, know that if you just fall in love with Jesus, that is the greatest thing that you can ever do. At this time, we'd like to thank Ms. Helen Watson for blessing us with that beautiful selection, Falling in Love with Jesus. At this time, we're going to Pastor Eric Cooper. He's going to tell us today about God Provide. That is taken from Genesis 22nd chapter 13 to the 18th verse. Pastor Cooper.
Amen. Good afternoon. Good evening. I'm sorry. Good evening, Dr. McCoy, and to the listening audience in the radio land. That was a beautiful, beautiful song. That was very beautiful, very anointing. That really blessed my soul to hear Sister Watson to sing from my heart to the Lord like that. That was truly a blessing to me. And just to hear her singing again, because she's always had that beautiful voice. God bless you, sister. That's my sister as well. God bless you, and I pray that you continue to exercise that gift in the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. And we're coming from Genesis 22, verses 13 through 18, and we're dealing with God Provides. And if we can look back over our lives and see on countless occasions how anytime there was a need or anytime that we can recall that God had made a promise, he always provided. He's always been there. The Bible says how that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. Everything that's in this earth, it belongs to God. You know, so therefore we have not needing to worry about things that we may lack or things we may have need of. All we have to do is just ask our Father, because he said, if we didn't even know how to give good gifts to our children, how is that he, the Father, what type of gifts would he give to us, the children, if we would only ask him? So we know that our Father, not just our God, but he's our Father, and he will provide for his children. Amen. And we're going to begin reading in verse 13 in Genesis chapter 22. And it reads, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And what is here is that after Abraham's obedience, sometimes what God will do in being tested by him, It's a danger when we become complacent in God, knowing that God is a provider, knowing that he is a way maker, knowing that he is always faithful. We know that he loves us, but Jesus says this one thing in the book of John. He says that if you love me, keep my commandments. And we have the Logos word, which is the written word of God, and we have the Rhema word of God, which is the spoken word of God. And at times it's easy for us to obey the Logos, which is the written word that's before us daily as we open up our Bibles. But our faith is really tested when God begins to speak audibly or through his Rhema, his spoken word. And what happens is it begins to take us to a new level and to a greater sense of relationship with him when God is actually speaking audibly, because he said he will give us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. He will lead us and guide us into all truth, and he will show us those things that are to come. So God has given us he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to direct our path. But we must remember that we have to always acknowledge him, that he can direct our path. And we also know that that there are promises that God has truly made to us. And when we're in certain places in our lives and our walk with him, or in the place of the relationship, we have to remember that if it's not what God has spoken, then therefore there's still some more journeying up the road that we must take. And we must be willing to let go things that God has given us, or places that God has placed us in, to get to that place that he's ultimately made promise of. And so here you see how God he's called Abraham to, he's testing Abraham to present his son as a sacrifice, him, the very son that he promised him, that he's been waiting on for so many years, he and his wife Sarah. And what happens, Abraham showed his faith, his love, and his trust in God. Although these things may have been somewhat like foolish to us as people, sometimes God would take the foolish things in the world, he would confound the wise. And saying that, I mean, we want to make sure that we stay on the cutting edge in our faith with God, meaning keeping our ear open and keeping our hearts and our minds ready to receive direction or instruction from God. And what God is doing, he's just testing Abraham's faith and seeing who does he love most. Now, when God makes a blessing, or when God makes a promise to you, and then you begin to covet the promise, or you begin to be appreciative of the gift or the promise that God has made, and you've received the blessing, will you begin to covet the gift, or will you continue to love on God? And sometimes God will do that to show you where your heart is, and also to show you that he is a jealous God. He said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." So we must be mindful that when God does bless us, that we don't take the very thing that God has blessed us with, and we begin to put that thing before God, because he is a jealous God as well as a God that loves his people. And we want to make sure that we don't want to put things like, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a car, it could be a home that you've been waiting on, it could be a promotion or a new job, anything that God said that he would bless us with that would bring increase or joy to our lives. We have to make sure that thing doesn't replace the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is truly our strength, not the things we possess, because these things are truly temporary. And what God is, he's an eternal God. He's a forever God. He's a God. He's self-sufficient. God doesn't need anybody to sustain him. He's the provider. He's the source of everything that we'll ever need while we're here on the earth. And even when we pass on the glory, he's still the same. He's still the same sustainer. He's the ever-present. He's everything that we'll ever need. So we must make sure that we always keep God in his proper place, first and foremost upon the thrones of our hearts. Because if we don't, what happens is, when God begins to move, when he begins to try us, and then we're saying that we're something, but actually God is beginning to reveal what we've allowed to creep into our hearts, it will begin to show that, hey, we're not really what we say we are, or we've allowed certain things to creep into our hearts and take the place of God, or it becomes a struggle. And so we want to make sure that as God is blessing and God, we know that God is a provider, that we want to make sure that we're keeping the things that God has given us at bay, that we wear these things as a loose garment, or we wear places or people or things, anything of that nature. So when God says it's time to move, or it's time to relinquish this or that, then we should be even willing and ready to do just what he says. You say, as Abraham did, he rose early in the morning. That means Abraham was ready to move. Abraham was ready to do what God had told him to do. And like we know that God could have the power to raise his son Isaac up again, you know, we know that God to do anything that he wants to do. So we have to believe that if God asks us to do something foolish, we have to remember that God is able to either change or he has something else in mind, but he's just showing us who we are and where we are along the way. Amen? And let me read here again. And it says that verse 16, let's read verse 16. And it says, by myself have I sworn. This is after the Lord had called on Abraham the second time. He said, and by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And see, we must remember that if we really want the blessings from God, it comes through our obedience. In Deuteronomy 20, I think it's 28, it says that Moses came, he told the people, he said, if y'all shall hearken diligent to the voice of the Lord, which I command this day, the Lord thy God shall place thee upon high above all nations. And the thing about it, God wants us to be the peculiar people in the earth. He wants us to be the provider. He wants us to be the lender, not the borrower. But the only way we can ever get to those places is when we really begin just to hearken and to obey. Even if it sounds foolish to you, as the Bible says, how faith, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what we should really be desiring as believers and as saints of God, children of God, sons and daughters of God, we should be really desiring to have that one-on-one, that oneness with him, that when he says move, we move. When he says speak, we speak. That when he says stop, we stop. And when he says go, we go. Whatever he is commanding us, that we want to be on that cutting edge, that when he speaks, we know that it's him and we're obeying him at the drop of a dime, just as Abraham did when he began to present his son as a sacrifice. And that's just how it is. The blessing only comes after the obedience with God. Amen. So I just want to encourage anybody today out in radio land that if you really want the things of God to manifest in your life and the relationship with God, to know him, not just as God, but as your father as well, obey the father, because in obeying the father, the blessing comes behind the obedience. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric Hooper. How awesome. It gives us so much to nuggets to think about God's provision, how he provides in the same way that he provides for Abraham, he will provide for us as well. So we have to trust the Lord. It's trusting God is all what matters. Just the knowing that he is God, knowing that he is the Almighty God, knowing that he has all power in his hand. And so many times I just love to say, it is so true, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think. And sometimes we just put certain things on God and think that when we get to a level in our thinking and when the tests get so great that we think that, and sometimes the enemy try to make people think that, is God going to answer this? Is God going to do this or that? But this is when we have to have the faith and reliance on God, not when the test comes, but we have to have it as a person of God even now, to stand upon the Word of God, because the Word of God says, what we think about the definition of faith in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse, it says, now faith is a substance of things asked for, the evidence of faith, hope for the evidence of things not seen. So we have to stand on God, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't understand situations, we have to trust God. And that is what Abraham did. He relied upon God, and he knew that God had promised him this son. He had promised his wife his son, and he was prepared to do whatever, no matter what God had promised him. He knew that God was faithful. If God was faithful to call him and to have this child at an old age, he and his wife, and God did see what the impossible, see what the doctor would have said then, or what the doctor would have said even today, then yet it didn't matter. He's seen the greatness of God. He's seen what God did before in his life. So he knew that God was not going to fail him, and God was going to make provision for that son, because he had already told them that they were going to return. That's how we have to do in situations that we go through in life.
And no matter how things may look, sometimes it doesn't look good in the natural. But when we began to stand on God's word and know that God is faithful, that God is the one that we can trust and one that we can rely on, and to know that there is nothing too hard for God to do. At this time, we're getting ready to go to our next panelist. She's going to tell us even more. And we've had some good, very good discussions on all of our topics. But she's going to tell us and give us even more insight on God provides. And we want to welcome Evangelist Geraldine Spencer to Breakthrough Broadcast. Evangelist Spencer.
We're broadcast audience. And praise the Lord also to you, Sister Dr. McCoy. And in here, God provides, starting at verse 16, and I'm going to read 16 through 18. And it says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Amen. And here, you know, Abraham had went through the test, and God, in other words, gave him the provisions, in other words, of passing the test. And, you know, and I think of when we give our life to the Lord, that we enter into, I like to say, we enter into school of the Holy Spirit, and we never know, you know, when the Lord is going to test us. But the thing about it is that we have to have a made-up mind and have been in a place with God to study and to learn more about him, to seek him and to fast him and to build a relationship in him, with him, that when he do test us, that we pass the test. And, you know, and I was thinking about how, you know, I remember being in school, you know, the natural, that, you know, there were times that you would come into the classroom and all of a sudden you were told that you were going to be given a test that day, and you sitting there, you going, oh, my God, I got to, you know, try to remember, you know, all this and stuff. And God is just showing that how he tests us, you know, in the natural, when we in the spiritual, when we give our life to him, because he tests us to let us see where we're at in him, and also to let us know that, you know, do we fear him? And in that fear of God, Abraham, he passed it, because in his testing, through his testing, Abraham's faith to see if he feared God enough to hold nothing back from him. And Abraham passed that test because he feared God. And in that fear of God is a reverential fear. In other words, a reverential fear is that fear that, you know, I love you enough to obey and to trust you and to believe what you said, and know that, you know, you have my best interest at hand. And he also in here blessed Abraham through his obedience and for passing the test. So, you know, when Abraham passed his test, that was an A+. And God gave him and spoke to him, and he said, because of, you know, your obedience and because I see that you haven't withhold anything from me, you know, in other words, that you, in other words, recognize that you had made a covenant with me and you upheld your part of the covenant, because we know that God is faithful. And Abraham upheld his part of the covenant. God said, because of that, he said in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And when you think about that, being blessed as the stars of the heaven, when you look up into the sky, you can't even begin to count
the stars that you see with your natural eyes. You can't even begin to count. And that's what God was saying to Abraham. In other words, that I'm going to bless you beyond, in other words, what you can see. And it's going to go into, you know, generations and nations, in other words, after you. And stuff through your seed, because you didn't withhold your seed from me, your only seed of the promise. And he said, and also I will multiply that seed as the sand which is upon the seashore. And when you think about it, you're out at the beach and you pick up sand, and you cannot count how many pebbles of pieces of sand that you would hold in one hand. So when you think about it and you wrap your mind around that, with what God was going to do because of your obedience, because of his obedience, God, in other words, said, I'm going to multiply you. You know, in other words, you can't even count. You can't even count what I'm going to do. You can't even count. And lo and behold, did Abraham know that when God asked him, you know, for his son, that, you know, it was going to take him into, you know, a promise, not only for Abraham and his seed, but in, you know, the other seeds to come after. In other words, the door was open for the other generations, for our generations, and because of his obedience. His obedience, you know, and sometimes we, you know, get a word from God, or God to tell us to do something, and, you know, we want to try to figure out, you know, the outcome of it, and, you know, well, maybe I should just wait and wait for God to bust open the sky or to do something else over here or to come and speak through Sister Sue. But, you know, God is saying, in other words, I'm going to bless you and do for you by your obedience. By your obedience, you know, in other words, you got to have that relationship with God to know and to trust and believe him that he's going to do it. And when God telling you to do something, it's only for your growth. It's only for your benefit. It's only for your benefit, because he's not going to do anything to hurt you or to harm you. He's a God. He's a loving God. And he's the one that he has everything. He owns everything. He owns everything. So to release that amount of blessings upon a person and to speak that to a person, he spoke that to Abraham. When you think about that, you think about the sand of the seashore, and just to pick up a handful of sand and just to think about how much that is, how many blessings that is, you can't even begin to count. You can't even begin to count what God has in store. And it's about, God is saying to the listeners and to the radio broadcast, God is calling for our obedience today. Stop trying to figure out and trust and believe the God that you serve. Trust and believe in him, knowing that he has the plan, knowing that he already had it laid out. He's already got it laid out before you even a thought or became, you know, in your mother's womb. He already got it laid out for you. And he just wants us to get to that place where we can trust and we reverence him and we fear him, that, you know, okay, God, I'll be obedient. I'll be obedient. I don't care. I'm not concerned about what people are going to think about me or how people are going to look at me and consider it strange. But, God, I hear what you said, and let me be obedient to follow through, to follow through. And you don't know what God has in store for you, but you know it's good. It's good. And here he shows in his word, and here he used Abraham and Isaac as an example to let us know nowadays that when God speaks and you get in that place and you got that relationship with him, when he speaks, be obedient. Be obedient. Don't be sitting there trying to get another opinion, waiting for God to give you another answer, or even go and call up someone that you know that, hey, you know, maybe God will give them something different. No, God spoke it to you. You know his voice. You heard his voice. Be obedient and move. And I like the part about where Abraham, he got up early. He didn't wait, you know, and decide, well, you know, let me try to do something else. Maybe God will give me something else here. But he just got up. He had his mind made up, amen, that when he left, amen, and when he left out of his place where God first told him to get from among his kindreds, when he left out of that place, he had his mind made up that he was going to serve God and be obedient to God. He was going to serve him, be obedient, and this is what God is saying to us today. He says it's time for us to come on up and be obedient to him. Be obedient. Don't be concerned about what this person is doing, what that person is doing. Do what I'm speaking to you. Do what I'm speaking to you, because we don't know that who God is going to use us and put us in our place that's going to be a blessing to someone else. So, you know, and I give God praise for showing that he does, you know, give promises. He does, you know, is faithful to his promise, and he does provide for us. And we trust and we know. And I just love the part of when Abraham, in other words, just stepped out. He just stepped out in faith, and he didn't question God. He just went forth, him and his son, in other words, for that sacrifice, and how God, in other words, had a ram in the bush. You know, a lot of times God has a ram in the bush, but we don't even get to that place to find out what he's got in the bush, because we, in other words, doubting, or we having second thoughts about it, or we haven't been obedient. So, you know, God is saying to us today that be obedient when I speak to you. Know it's for your good. Know it's for your good, and also that it's for to bless someone else. It's to bless someone else. It's to open the doors for someone else. You don't know exactly what it's for, but you know it's for your good, because God said it, and God wouldn't have you to do anything that's going to hurt you. So I give God praise for his word, and I thank God that we can always stand and that on his word, and that he's faithful with his word, and we can believe him, we can trust him, we can know that, hallelujah, that if we don't pass the test, that we're going to have to take that test over, because it's the same way it was in the school of the natural. If you didn't pass that test, you didn't go to another grade until you passed that test. Until you passed the test, then you had the exam. So we have to continuously study. We have to continuously fast. We have to continuously pray, seek his face, get into his word, get understanding with his word, get wisdom, ask. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, ask him, he shall give it unto thee. So ask him for the wisdom, God, to understand, God, to get in that place or that plan that you have, that, hallelujah, Lord, that I can be used for your glory. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Evangelist Spencer. Truly, it was a blessing just to hear what God has given you for broadcast for today, and the insight and revelation that God had given. I like what you said, some of this kind of thinking about what you were saying, and one of the things that really caught my attention was that when you said that God has a ram in the bush, but we never get to see what God has, whatever God has, because of the fact we don't go to the limb. We don't, sometimes we don't go through completely through that test. And so, therefore, we're going to have to trust God enough that whatever situation, whatever we're going through, that we're going to have to let God's word sustain us and keep us. And we have to stand firm upon that solid foundation, and to know that God is God, and just believe him for his very word, and to know that God would bring us out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. And I like what you were saying as well, that we are about obedience, that we have to obey God. We have to be obedient to God, because the word of God let us know that obedience is better than a sacrifice. So we have to obey God. Abraham, he obeyed God. He didn't reject, even though he knew, even when God, when his father began to offer him and had him in position to offer him, my God, yet he trusted his dad. He trusted God enough that he knew that it was going to be all right. You know, even I know that my father loved me. I know that my heavenly father care for me. I know that my earthly father cared for me. So I'm going to, just as he put him there for a reason. He didn't question him, even. He didn't really get out of himself, and he didn't get angry or jump up and like some of us would have done. But he was there. He stood. He laid there and he let God be glorified, and he let his father be able to go through this test, and his dad was able to know that that God was God, and God was God all by himself. And did the blessings of God, I just like that Harvey was saying about comparing the blessings of God, that just like that seashore and like the stars, and they are uncountable and how multiple they are. But we can't see those things or won't see those things, the blessing of God, unless we rely upon him, unless we have faith in him, unless we trust God and know that he is God, and know that he is God all by himself. And just kind of getting ready to go to Pastor Francine of Shanks, and I want her to share with us. We're going to do a little reflection, and the question will be, is what, just to what her reflection is on this, on what have you seen God accomplish in your life from your own test? And I want our panelists just to think about that. What have you seen? What have God accomplished in your life through your own test, through the tests that you've gone through? And we're going to start with Pastor Francina Shanks. We're going to just take about 2 minutes and give reflection on what she has seen God accomplish. Pastor Shanks.
Praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy. What I've seen God accomplish in my own life is walking in the fruits of the Spirit, taking me on a journey in my walk with him of showing his love to his people and to the world. And I've been tested. He's tested me in his love in different areas. And I didn't pass the test, as evangelists were saying, you know, like in school. If you don't pass the test in school, you have to go back and take it if they let you do a makeup test. But with God, I'm so glad he's merciful and he's not like man. Praise the Lord. Many times I did not pass the test, and so I had to go back, and God had to take different things out of my heart and things, my ways, things that were handed down through my family, you know, and delivered me from that generational curse of anger and vexation and prejudice. And I just thank the Lord for that, how he took me on that journey and tested me, and how he brought me out on the other side. And I am so glad that I'm still in the process. I'm not a finished work yet. I'm like Paul. He's still working on me, praise God, and I just thank him for his goodness. I've learned how to love those that don't love me, praise God, with his love that's in me. I've learned how to not keep a record of the wrong things done to me, but just to love them like he said in his word, bless your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. I've been tested and tried at every hand because that was my prayer, Lord, let your love flow out of me. I always prayed that, and so God had to show me how his love is. Praise God, I just thank him today that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus today, and that I'm still on this journey, and that he has not given up on me yet. And I've learned in this journey with him that the love that he has for you is for you. And the love that he has for me is for me. And God is so good. He is not a person that has respect the person. He don't think one higher than the other. He's not like that. Man is like that. So I just thank God how he has tried me and tested me, proved me, in other words, that I'm worthy. Thank you, Lord. He's so good that he called me worthy. He's called you worthy. And I just thank him for his tests and how he's proved me so that he can rely on me and know that I am going to do what he says and obey him because I love him and I want to see him one day. I want him to tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so I give all the glory to God. To God be the glory for the great things he has done in my life and that he is going to do, as well as for you, the breakthrough audience, out there, and I want to thank Dr. Mary McCoy for inviting me to come on this panel. And I turn it back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for sharing with us. Thank you. At this time, we will go to Pastor Eric. Would you please give us your comments and reflection, please?
Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Excuse me. In what ways has God provided what I needed? I'm scared. What was your question again? Because I was, I'm sorry.
The question is, what have you seen God accomplish in you from your own past?
Amen. For me, I would say one of the many things that God has accomplished in my life is Him being more present, more visible to me. You know that we know that God is a spirit, and how the scripture declares that they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as I gave myself more of the study, more of the fasting, and more of the praying, and then also watching as well as praying, I was able to see through prayer and through fasting, through just being still at times, how God was moving in my life, and how He was using things that appeared to be negative as a tool to shape, make, and mold me, you know, into what He had called me to be. You know, like the sister just said, that He is not finished with us. We all are a work in progress, but we know that we're transitioning from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So for me, it would definitely have to be that I'm able to see and discern God's moves in my life, around my life, and for my life, and the lives of others as well. So Him being more present, Him being more visible to me is the thing I know I'm able to see and discern more. So I thank Him for that. And I think it really took me as far as getting more settled when God would bring forth tests and trials, things that didn't feel so pleasant, things that would kind of come and shake us, you know, and shake us out of our comfort zones, because we all want to be in that place of paradise. You know, we all want to be in that place where it's peaceful and everything is flowing. But God has not always called us into that place. He's called us to, you know, like He said, He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And He's the one who's leading us in the green pastures beside the still water. So being able to discern God's moving and His leading, and being able to see how He is doing it, Him becoming more visible to me, is the thing that I have truly grown to know and to love and to respect and thank Him for. And that would be it for me. Now, I'm just returning back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hooper, for sharing on your reflections. Let's go to Ms. Helen Watson. Ms. Watson.
Okay. Well, for me, Dr. McCoy, I was thinking and listening to all the other panelists. So for me, what God has accomplished in my own test is faith, my faith in Him. I've always had faith in Him, but it wasn't where it is now. God was just, He brought me from such a long way, and I used to find myself putting my hands on things that really was God's business. And like we've been saying all through the broadcast today, you know, not passing that test because I put my hands on it and I wasn't supposed to. So God has brought me from a long way in my faith walk with Him. I've learned to turn everything over to Him, not to worry about it, to give it to Him, and to truly know that He's going to fix it for me, that He's going to do whatever it takes to get it done. I don't have to worry about it. I don't worry about it anymore. When I put it in His hands, I don't go and take it back anymore like I used to. I was thinking of a time when I was going through in my marriage, and it was virtually just broke down. We were just waiting to get a divorce, and we were in the same house together. And the people came and repossessed my car. And I gave the man the keys, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm not going to worry about this. You know, You got this. I'm not going to worry about it. I just had so much on me. And I gave Him the keys. I closed my door, went back in my house, and 10 minutes later, the doorbell rang. I'm like, well, who is this? The man had brought my car back. He said, we've never even done this before. He said, I don't even know what happened. He said, but I can't take your car. He said, where do you want me to put it? I said, well, put it back where you got it. He put it back. He said, well, I'll leave it where I got it. He said, here's your keys. So, and I said, well, thank you, God. He just had to let me know that He is in full control of my life. If I give it to Him, He will certainly take care of it. So it will be faith with me that God has really accomplished that in my life. He had to let me know that He doesn't need my help, that He is God all by Himself. He doesn't need anything from me. He got it. Whatever it is, he got it. But if I put my hands on it, he's going to let me have it so I can mess it up again. So I had to stop doing that, and he has brought me so far with that. I totally depend on him now. He just wants a complete yes, and I've given him that. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you very much, Ms. Watson. How often do we find someone that's going to repossess your vehicle? How they're going to, 10 minutes later, going to go and return or bring it back to you? That has to be God. That is nobody but God. That is faith, believing, and standing on God's word. Ms. Evangelist Spencer.
Amen, Dr. McCoy. And I would just like to say that what God has accomplished in me and from my own test is the verse of Matthew 5:44, and it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And God had to really, you know, and I had, you know, was reading the scripture and stuff, and then I had to begin to pray, God, get this in my heart that I live it. You know, I just don't want to read it, but I want to live it because, you know, the old me was the type. In other words, you did something to me, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and stuff, and I had to get in that place and trust God that what he said in his word, he said, vengeance is mine. And rely and know that, you know, God had to show me. He said, daughter, you know, lo and behold, he said, don't take it personally. He said, they're not coming against you. He said, but they're coming against the me that's in you. So that's why he says in his word, vengeance is his. So that was one of the scriptures, and I see it, and I know that God has accomplished in my life, and I can say it, and I can give God praise for it, give God thanks for it, because he truly have shown me and have me living that scripture, Matthew 5:44. And, you know, and in other words, you know what, love, how to love those, you know, your enemies, those that are, you know, coming at you, those that are saying things and stuff. And God has gotten me to a place where he said to me last year, the beginning of last year, he said, this is the year that you're going to enter into abundant peace, the shalom, my abundant peace, where, in other words, it's just going to be water off of a duck's back. In other words, it's not going to, you know, get you all riled up and you have been delivered of the old man. He said, now you're into the new. And so, you know, I was like, okay, God. And true enough, I mean, enemies were coming left and right. But I said, God, thank you. Show me how to love them. Show me, God, what to say. Show me, God, what to do. Hallelujah. Because I know that they're not coming against me personally. It's against the Christ that's in me. And to bless those that curse you. And in other words, and you know, I was reminded there was a time that I was at a gas pump. And I got to the gas pump before the other driver. And she was caught, like, in between. So, you know, I'm getting out to pump my gas, and she's sitting there wanting me to move. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay. And finally, and she was an older woman in her late 60s. She gave me the finger. And I said, you know what, praise the Lord, bless you. And her daughter that was in the car with her dropped her head. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I said, God, I thank you, Lord, that, hallelujah, Lord, that you've delivered me, that you're showing me how to live the scripture, to live your word and stuff, because the old me would have went way beyond what I could even handle. And so, you know, and I look at that, and I thank God for them, and to pray for them that which despitefully use you. In other words, when you know that you're being used by someone, in other words, don't go and enter into strife with that person. You know, when you go into your secret closet, you pray for them. You pray for them, and you begin to ask God, God, what can, you know, I do to, you know, I know that what man meant for evil, you're going to work it out for my good. So, God, show me to be the Christ like. Hallelujah, in this situation, in this circumstance. And the last part of it is that those that persecute you, In other words, when you're being accused of something, you're being told that this was your intention, that was, you was going to do this, you was going to do that, and you know it's not you. And when the Holy Spirit tells you to be quiet, I got this. And, you know, and you sit there and you just, you know, you listen. And that is really a humbling effect that God had to really show me how to live that and trust in him with his word where he says, vengeance is mine. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you very much, Evangelist, for sharing with us how awesome and what a great God that we serve. I'd like to take this time to thank all our panelists today for sharing with us, for letting the Lord speak through them on our topic, faith. Tested. And it's so many times that God has allowed us to go through situations in our lives. And I believe one of the panelists had gave us an example of the tests that we go through, even when I think the person said about when we were in school and college or whatever the means of that we were being tested. But yet, sometimes it was surprised. Like sometimes God didn't tell us, the instructor or the professor didn't tell us that we were going to have a test, but that test, it didn't stop that test from coming. And also have, it's like when the teacher teaches and instructs the class, then the students are there to hear, to learn, and to put it into action. But when the professor or the teacher ceases from teaching and the test is given, then it's that time for that student to perform. And that is the same way it is in life. That is the same way it is with God. God, He give us the opportunity to study the Word, because the Word of God is a study to show that self approval to God. A working of God need not be ashamed to write and advise the word of truth. He gives us the opportunity to hear the word of God, because the word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He gives us situations and things from the word of God that the people of God have gone through as we read the word of God. One of those people that we have talked about in the past, we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talk about the trial, the things that David encountered in his tests and his trials, even when he was feeling forsaken. But yet he had to know that God was God, and that God was all God all by himself. And here, even in the time of testing, we even had to go back and to think within our hearts, even at the time that we go through this situation, it tells us what to do, because there even was a time that God let us know that in the situation that we go through, that we have to praise God through whatever situation that we are in at that time. And it just gives us so many ways that when we read the Word of God, when we can read it and we can believe it, and we can put it in our hearts and our spirit, and when that time comes, then we can put it into action. So there are so many times that we have the opportunity to be able, in order to trust God. And some of the panelists they have shared, they say, well, with all, sometimes we have gone through situations in our lives, and we haven't always passed every test. That we have gone through, every test that was that God allowed us to go through, we didn't always pass that test. Somebody said that, you know, they had a problem with maybe with an attitude or anger, some things that may have appeared, some time of whatever it was at that time. Yet God gave us another opportunity to go and take that test again, but we want to be able to
mature in the things of God. We want to be able to be able to whatever that we have gone through, and God has given us another chance. And because He's a God of a second chance, He's a God of a third and fourth chance. But we just don't want to keep trying God. We want to prove ourselves unto Him. We want to prove to be faithful. We want to prove to be righteous. We want to prove that God can count on us, that God can trust us in whatever situation that we're in, no matter what it was, no matter what it may be. We got to learn how to trust God. So we talked about faith tested, testing God testing His people as He tested Abraham. We talked about an unthinkable command, what God had did when what He had asked Abraham to do concerning Isaac. And then we talked also about withholding nothing. And it gives us the more. Even when we began to read, even when we began to study, even as we as panelists on the line, on the airway, we're continually, God is working on us and working within us that our faith can go to that next level in Him. And we should always say, God, you do what you need to do in me. Allow God to do what He needs, because sometimes we don't see everything that's within us. You know, sometimes even when I heard and I've listened to Evangeline Spencer when she said what the older lady had did to her, and that was one time that were a time in her life that she would have reacted in a totally different way. But I thank God that God has given her that higher height and that deeper depth in Him. I was listening at Pastor Shanks of her experience and the things that God didn't deliver her from. She said one of the things was from prejudice, having that mentality, and so many things that God have delivered all of us from. And I just thank God that He has no respect of person. In order for Him to use us, in order for us to be the men and the women and the boys and girls of God, that we have to allow God to deal with us. We have to allow Him to test us. We have to allow Him and be faithful even in our testing, that we know that we're going to be made better, that we're going to be stronger, that we're going to be able to stand and endure. You know, so I thank God for each one of our panelists today. I give God the honor and the glory again for Pastor Francina Shank, for Miss Helen Watson, for Pastor Eric Cooper, for Evangelist Jersey Spencer. And at this time, we just want to thank you, our radio audience, for tuning in to Breakthrough Broadcast. And without any hesitation today, we would like to, if there's someone listening, and we know that they aren't, if there's someone that is not saved, that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we want to give you the opportunity to ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and to save you. The Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't care what you did yesterday. God don't care what you did. He's not concerned right now what you did yesterday or what you did the day before. You may have been a person, a fornicator, a homemonger, a liar. No matter what you may have done in your life, you may have been a street walker. No matter what it was, you may have been prejudiced. But yet, I want you to know today that God will forgive you for your sin. He'll cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and He will remember it no more. So would you please repeat after me as I begin to lead you into the sinner's prayers? Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life. I want to live for you. I want to be that vessel for you, for your glory, and for your honor. Lord, please cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. Lord, I want to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to live this life so that I can live again. If you pray that prayer with me, it's only a short prayer, but if you mean it from your heart, you see, I can't see your heart, but God can. See, I don't know what you're thinking, but God can. But if you just believe that God loves you and that God paid the price 2,000 years ago for you, for your sin and for your transgression, I want you to know if you prayed that prayer with me, I'm going to pray with you even now that God will touch you. And as I'm praying that prayer, I'm also going to pray a prayer for our radio audience for God to move in their lives today. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, God, even now that you heard the prayers of those, God, that have asked you, Lord God, to forgive them for their sins, to come into their heart, and to save them. And Lord, even Father God, this day and this hour, God, on December 31st, God, that you knew that they were going to say yes to your will and yes to your way. Lord, even now, Lord God, I pray, God, that you would cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Make them brand new creatures today. Cause them, Father God, to feel that peace. Cause them, God, to know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they are forgiven. God, that they have been born again. God, that they have that new name, God, that written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, we ask you, God, to do it even now. Lord, even as we pray, God, to cause the prayer, Father God, to go before you as that sweet-smelling Savior. Father God, cause, Father God, the love of you, God, to abound upon them and in them. And Lord, even as I pray, God, I thank you right now, Father, for Lord God, for hearing. I thank you, Lord God, for the angels in heaven are rejoicing because they have given their lives unto you. Now, Father God, all those, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and the sound of my voice, that, Lord God, those, Father God, that have family members, God, that are not saved, Father, I see God to save, deliver, and to make free. God, even now, God, those that are sick, and those that have infirmities in their bodies, Lord, we pray, Father God, that you will heal them, God, even now. God, mind, body, soul, and spirit. God, I pray, God, even now, that you, God, in the name of Jesus, will cause them to be delivered and to be made free. God, those, God, with tumors, God, those, God, with mass, Lord God, in their bodies, Lord God, with those infirmities of the kidneys, those with infirmities, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, in the area of the spine, I pray, Father God, your healing power, those, God, with bladder tumors, those, God, with tumors of the prostate, Father, we cast right now in the very pits of hell. We pray healing, God, to be manifested, Lord God, even as we pray. Father God, do it even now, Father God, from the crown of the head to the sole of their feet. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for that which you have done. Thank you, God, for that which you're doing, God, even now. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power, Lord God, being demonstrated today, God, for the voices, Lord God, for those, God, that have an ear to hear. Let them know, Father God, that you love them. Let them know, Father God, that you paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. And God, that there is nothing too hard for you to do. Let them know, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega, that you are the beginning and you are the end, and you are the first and you are the last, and you are the true and the living God. And God, that you have all power in your hand. So, Lord, today, God, whatever situation, whatever crisis, whatever problems, God, whatever testing, God, that your people, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, is going through, Lord God. God, let them know, Father God, that they are going through, that they are going to pass, and God, the test, Lord God, and God, that you are sustaining them, God, and God, that you are leading, God, that you will guide them, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for your amazing grace, Lord God, upon the people right now. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for what you have done today, God. We thank you, God, for bringing us even now, God, into another year. Lord, we pray, God, even this year, God, we thank you for all the blessings. We thank you, God, for how you brought us through, Lord God, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. We thank you, God, in the year 2012, Lord, that you are continuing, Lord God, God, to save, deliver, and to make free. We pray, God, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you bless, God, every radio audience, Lord God, that's, Lord God, person that's under the sound of our voices, God, that they will hear, God, that you will touch their heart even in a greater way. And Lord, even as I pray, Lord God, for those panelists, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you are ordained, Lord God, that you have called, Lord God, to be a part of the breakthrough broadcast, God, that you will empower them, God, even the more, God, that you will keep them, God, that you will bless them on their going in and their coming out, God. God, that you continue, Lord God. God, would make them the head and not the tail. God, in the name of Jesus, every desire, Lord God, will be met, Lord. Every need, God, will be met, God. Father, we ask that God to use them even in a greater way, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, again, we call out Pastor Francina Shanks, Lord God, move on her, God, even the more. Bless the woman of God. Thank you for Miss Helen Watson. We call her name before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless and keep, God. Pastor Eric Hooper, Lord God, we thank you for the man of God. We thank you, God, for the revelation, God, that you have given him. The revelation, God, that you have given, God, Evangelist Jervin Spencer, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for using them. We thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for Miss Gwendolyn and Braxton, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for what you have done, Father God, and what you're doing in her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for every panelist, Lord God, have been, Father God, upon this wall, upon, Father God, this line, God, in the year, God, 2011, we give you the praise and the glory. And God, we're just looking for you, God, to do greater things, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, that we will lay hands upon the sick and to see them recover. God, that the blind will see, the lame will walk, Father God. Father God, the deaf, they will hear. Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, God, and we count it all. Father God, we count it all blessing for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. Now, we cover, Father God, every person, Lord God, the family members, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, even now, God, to open the windows of heaven. We ask you, God, to pour them out blessing, that there be not room enough to receive, to rebuke the devourer for their sake. And for this, Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have done. Thank you for covering them and thank you for keeping them, God, in the name of Jesus. And for this, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. At this time, we just want to thank our radio audience. We thank you. Again, we thank our panelists for giving your all, and we thank you, and we want you to join us on next Saturday, will be January, year 2012, as we come lifting up the great and mighty name of Jesus. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, telling you to come on, give God the praise, and watch God give you
a breakthrough. God bless you, and please join us on our next broadcast.